The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Shaka Hislop and Ali Moreno. Ali, normally when in Venezuela are going well, you say Vamos Venezuela.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of Vamos Venezuela in the context?
I don't say anything.
No, just silence.
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 Yes. Silence speaks for itself.
Silent and disappointment.
And disapproval.
That would, of course, continue on Friday night. Argentina winning by 3-0. Beautiful goal from Angel Di Maria. Messi getting on the score sheet as well. Argentina, of course, have already qualified for the World Cup. Venezuela, not so much. We'll talk about them in more detail in a moment. But first, let's welcome in, shall we, Don Hutchinson, Gab Marcotti with us. Oh, Gab. I was hoping for the Box of Doom.
Oh,
that was fantastic. You've never looked so good on the podcast.
How
are you feeling, Gab, now, by the way? Is it all sunk in? Have you calmed down a little?
You know what? First of all, the Box of Doom felt appropriate at
yes.
the time.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what? It hurts a lot less the second time round.
Right.
Like other things I could mention. So, you know. It's you come to terms with that.
Right, this is a very serious show. Let's get back on track, shall we?
Okay.
What has made a lot of headlines is Lionel Messi's comments after that victory against Venezuela. He was asked about his future, and he came out and he said, "I don't know what I'll do after the World Cup. I'm thinking about what is coming. After Qatar, I'll have to reassess many things." Gab, doesn't he have a contract to PSG?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that he might be reassessing. I mean, I'm assuming he was talking about his international career since he was with Argentina and whatnot. But, you know, clearly there's a real world business perspective to this. And with the sort of wages he's on at Paris Saint-Germain, if Messi goes to them and says, guys, I don't really feel like playing anymore because, say, I've just won the World Cup in Qatar. You know, I want to finish. I want to go home. I want to leave. You guys don't need to pay me the rest of my contract and I won't pay. I'm pretty sure that he could work out some sort of deal.
Is that scenario feasible, Ali, do you think?
For him to walk off?
Yeah.
If the scenario included a win with Argentina at the World Cup in Qatar, absolutely, I think that's a feasible scenario. And I think it's a realistic scenario for Lionel Messi. What other way would you want to walk out of the game if it's not by winning the World Cup? I just don't know that they're going to win it. And then that's the reassessing of Lionel Messi is going
to
continue.
And then back-to-back Ligue 1 trophies as well. Could be quite the allure.
That'll do it. That'll do
it.
I think the reassessing for Lionel Messi is going to be on both fronts, both on the international level with Argentina and certainly in what he does at club football as well. I think he wants to find some joy and happiness somewhere, and he's not finding that at PSG right now.
But isn't it a two-year contract?
Yes.
So by the end of the World Cup, he's got January transfer window, 6 months, he could start negotiating to walk away at the end. So you understand why he's kind of setting that as a target line. I don't see anything overly egregious or surprising.
If he wins the World Cup, lifts up his shirt and it's got, who's the GOAT now, Shaka?
I'm a little concerned by how your mind wanders.
Well, it's
a little concerning.
Now, of course, it is a real conversation at the moment. Argentina amongst the favourites to go all the way in the World Cup, given their form of late. 30 games undefeated. Their last loss, you have to go back to 2019. Of course, they won Copa America in the process as well. You look at the World Cup odds, look how the bookies have them set. 10-1. Brazil are favourites, France, England, Spain, Germany. So Argentina, I mean, it's sixth favourites. 10-1 looks quite generous, doesn't it, Ali, for a side that have got so much good form going into the tournament?
Absolutely it does. And if you are a betting man, as you are, Dan, this is good value for Argentina. Look, Argentina has something that most other teams going into the World Cup do not have, and that is a team structure and a team identity that is well defined. For many years, the shortcomings of Argentina were, well, we're going to give the ball to Lionel Messi and he's going to figure it out for us. Now there is a concept of teamwork around Lionel Messi, which he's obviously a key contributor. He's still a critical part to Argentina. But the things that are going around him and the structure of the team defensively, the work that has been done through the midfield, and then the options in the attack around Lionel Messi, not just dependent on Messi, but around Lionel Messi, make this team the complete group that they are. And that's why they should be favorites going into the World Cup. Certainly no six favorites, much higher than that, I believe.
What do you think, Don?
Oh, I don't think much higher than that. I think Belgium are a better side, for sure. I know form says Argentina are in a good run of form, but I just wonder what they're like once they get to the World Cup and how they perform and the pressure that's on
them. Belgium are old. They can't defend. We've been here, haven't we, with Belgium before?
I would take Belgium in a World Cup final against Argentina any day of the week.
Right, $1 million. There it is, Don. That's the bet. Good.
No, I just we've all watched Argentina over the World Cups, and whether it's a pressure thing, whether the players who play for Argentina can't live up to Messi's standards, which is understandable, obviously. I just don't see them winning it, Dan.
Right, but why is the standard then
not
Belgium?
Yeah, because not Belgium either.
Because if there was ever a picture of a team that has come up short in big competitions, the golden generation has been Belgium. So
yep,
that cannot be the standard.
Nope.
If Don had used any other team, maybe, but Belgium is not the standard.
Nope.
But on that graphic there, Belgium are slightly outsiders compared to Argentina. I would have Belgium more favourites than Argentina. Not to win it, but certainly I think they're a better side than Argentina.
Gab?
What I struggle with is when people bring up the record, and believe me, I'm well-versed in impressive unbeaten records because, hey, look, that's what Italy had for a very long time.
There it is.
How'd that work out for you? These records, these stats, are kind of goofy because you're talking about games that take place, what, over the past 2 years? Things change, things happen. You're talking about games that take place over the past 2 years with groups that they go with their club sides, they get together for a week. If it's CONMEBOL, they have to play like 3 games in 8 days and they jet off again. These aren't normal conditions. These aren't tournament conditions. These aren't World Cup conditions. The World Cup is 8 months away. It's going to be played basically in one city, in Doha, in one teeny tiny city. We're in totally uncharted waters. So I think all the records, all of what all this came before, unbeaten streaks, whatever, 31 wins, whatever it is, it's all frankly goes out the window. And all that matters is who's fit, are they producing, and how talented are they there? And viewed through that lens, yeah, I think Argentina are going to be among the favorites, along with, you
know, a long way to get to that answer, Gab.
That can win it. Sorry, but when you brought up the records, you know how I feel about these fugazi statistics that span 10 years.
I was waiting for you to say they won't make it past the group stage.
Gab's got a lot to get off his chest, Dan.
This is the same thing, right? So they beat Argentina. It's an official match, but it's really a friendly match because neither Argentina nor Venezuela have anything to play for. So how do we judge that versus something else? I mean, look, it's silly. This World Cup is going to be unlike any others, and we just have to accept that and bear that in mind when we make our predictions.
Also, bear in mind, Gab said it's easier the second time around. That really
is. Yes. Is Gab still talking about Argentina? I'm not sure.
I think it's all right. There's a bit of hoot there.
I tell you what, there's some great questions for Gab in extra time. I'm seeing. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It has been a series of disasters, hasn't it, since Eden Hazard made that big money move from Chelsea to Real Madrid. Another chapter in that sorry story this weekend as he needs surgery on his ankle. Back to the surgeon, says the front page of AS. And just take a look at this. The number of problems that he's had just epitomised beautifully in this graphic. And just well, six goals,
beautifully,
eight assists and 14 injuries overall since making that switch from the Premier League to La Liga. And of course, when you take a look at the Spanish table at the moment, it is Real Madrid who are sitting top. Not home and home, certainly, after what we saw against Barcelona. But weren't they more in front? Maybe they could have utilised Gareth Bale more this season.
Okay.
Well, that's according to Gareth Bale and Xhaka's former agent, Jonathan Barnett. If they put the player in the team and integrated him more, they would have a great player. But we will live with it and move on. Oh. It's difficult, though, to put the player in the team, isn't it, if he says he's not fit? Because this is what Carlo Ancelotti had to say about his availability after El Clásico.
No, Gareth no se encontraba bien. Ayer después del entrenamiento, lo ha intentado esta mañana. No era disponible para el partido. No sé qué pasa con...
Well, he just about, didn't he, managed to play for Wales. Just a couple of goals for the captain. Don and Gav, Don, what do you make of this whole scenario?
Well, it's very bizarre, isn't it? I mean, I think they're both as bad as each other in terms of the press giving Gareth Bale a hard time and the job that Gareth Bale's actually done in terms of on the pitch when you look at his stats and his numbers. At the same time, Dan, I don't think he's helped himself. I mean, there was that famous banner when he was playing for Wales and it had, I think it had Wales, golf, Madrid, and then underneath in that order. I mean, what professional footballer goes out, has a banner, and puts your club well before golf and Wales? I mean, it's just an outrageous statement that Gareth Bale was trying to make. Then you look at what Ancelotti's saying, and he's absolutely spot on as a manager. And if Gareth Bale's not out on the grass from a Monday to a Saturday, you can't then pick him for your starting 11. The difference is when he goes away with Wales and he's playing with a good friend in Robert Page, who knows him inside out, who has him, what, once or twice every two or three months, he can then say to Gareth Bale, do what you like midweek, get yourself in the gym, get yourself on the bike, get yourself in the pool, do what you want, just make sure you're ready for an hour against Austria. And you have that attitude with Gareth Bale, look what he does. But I totally defend Ancelotti because, as I said before, he's not training, so how can you pick him?
Well, this is a player who withdrew himself from the biggest game of the season for Real Madrid because he prioritises well. It's that simple, isn't it, Gam?
I mean, none of this is new. And I don't fault Jonathan Barnett for doing his job. I think there's a complete disconnect in Gareth Bale's mind. As a professional athlete, you are paid whatever you're paid. And you can look at it and say, they signed a contract, ha, 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 I'm having one over on them. Or you can say, am I living up to my contract? Should I be paid even more? You know, with this guy, it's pretty obvious what happened, and maybe it was the injuries, which obviously aren't his fault. But guess what? Being fit and being durable, that's part of being a professional athlete. And you can be unlucky. But from the club, they have to choose the guy who actually is available versus the guy who's not available. If what we're hearing is true, if he's really, you know, he can't train all week because he's injured, he's not ready, and he pulls out of the game, and then presto, he's fit again on Monday to go to get Wales. I mean, it's not funny. It's not a joke. He's not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. He can go be a legend in Wales, but to the rest of the world, he may have been a great footballer, but he's not a great person.
As a professional, Shaq, how does this kind of play out in your eyes? How does it make you feel?
I really don't know what to make of it, in all honesty. It's the most bizarre thing I've seen from a professional footballer, how Gareth Bale has kind of handled or mismanaged this situation. And to Gab and Don's point, I think Jonathan Barnett has done everything asked of him, as you'd ask of a good agent. I think Carlo Ancelotti has handled this from a Real Madrid perspective as well as anybody could expect. What had to be a very difficult circumstance. For the life of me, I cannot understand Gareth Bale, his motivation or lack of it, and how he goes from being injured for Real Madrid to that performance, even for an hour. And I know Don is trying to explain it, but it just doesn't come together in my head. And for a Real Madrid perspective, when you have a transfer policy, as you do, of simply buying the best players in the world, eventually it may catch up with you. And I think that's what happened here. By all accounts, there was a deal done with China a few years ago, but Real Madrid wanted something in return, which they quite clearly couldn't get. At some point, you've just got to cut your losses. At some point, you've just got to give Gareth Bale away, pay whatever's needed on top of it. Hold on. Pay whatever's needed on top of it and be rid of him. Because I just think that his presence there attracts so much attention, so much negative attention, that you could do without. Now, while I understand, yes, you want to make some money, you want to get back money on your investment, right now, you've taken it all on anyway, you've paid all his salary anyway, you're not getting anything back from his transfer fee anyway, so why not just ship him off and at least get rid of that negative attention a couple of years ago? So you live to rue that missed opportunity, I'll say in inverted commas.
Ancelotti, Zidane, Solari, Mourinho at Spurs couldn't get a tune out of him. Certainly over the last three or four seasons. So it's clearly not a personal issue here with one manager, is it?
And to that point, let's go back to the beginning of the season. This season, this La Liga season, back in August, starting lineup, opening game, Real Madrid away from home against Alaves. Who's playing up top? Gareth Bale. Ancelotti had come in and he made that choice of Gareth Bale is going to be in my starting lineup. That tells me that Ancelotti is thinking, if I can get the very best out of this guy, he's going to play for me. And we're going to see whether we can get this guy healthy, fit, ready to go. He's going to be an important part for Real Madrid. That's not the attitude of a manager who has a disconnect with the player. He's given him an opportunity. And what happened? That didn't last long. Nothing has really lasted long for Gareth Bale and Real Madrid. There's an emotional component with Wales that activates the skill set of Gareth Bale in a manner that it simply does not happen with Real Madrid. That same level of engagement, that same level of commitment that he feels with Wales and that emotional component that I just mentioned, it's not there with Real Madrid. That has eroded away. It's no longer there. It will never be there. And it's now time for both parties to go their separate direction.
What's interesting is this word professional, Don, because if you're in Bale's camp, you can argue, look, he wasn't given the support, the fans were booing him, he's not comfortable, he's not playing the position that he wants within the squad. But surely from the outside looking in as a former player, you're like, you just suck it up. You go out there and you do your best because there's professional pride at stake.
Of course you do. That's the job title, Dan. You're professional. Doesn't matter if Ancelotti wants to play it as a left-back, he wants to play as a right-winger through the middle, a 9, a 10 off the left-hand side. You play because you've got personal pride. I think it's very easy these days for the modern player to turn around and go, yeah, the manager doesn't really play me in the best position. I don't really fancy it. Or if I do, I might just play a little bit half-hearted. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, we talked weeks and months ago about Dele Alli going through the amount of managers that he did at Spurs. Now it's the same with Gareth Bale. When you mentioned the names of the manager and the caliber of the managers that he's gone through, yet it's too easy for him just to say, well, I'm not going to train and I'm going to hold that banner out and I'm going to kiss the Wales badge and I'm going to leave a little bit on the journalists. It's like, Shaka's absolutely right. There has to be a point. I mean, poor Eden Hazard, you know, he can't catch a break at the moment. I bet he would love the chances or the chance to stay fit and for him to prove himself. But Gareth Bale just seems to have this weird relationship where it's non-existent, as Ali said, at Real Madrid. It's finished, and Shaq is absolutely right. It's finished. But yet, the contract situation is still carrying on. I think he'd be best off moving on, and I certainly think Real Madrid would be best off not having him on a daily basis, as Shaq has said, having that negative influence.
To your point, to your question there, Dan, saying that if you're in Gareth Bale's camp, you can argue that he's not been playing, you've not been mollycoddled maybe as he'd like. The truth is, and let me just be clear, I have not spoken to Jonathan Barnett on this. I don't think anybody, as much as if you're in that camp, you try to make that argument, I'm not sure that anybody really believes it. I'm not sure that anybody believes the reason that Gareth Bale isn't delivering is because managers haven't played him in the right position or haven't catered to his needs or his preferences as a player. I think they're just as frustrated as everybody else. Cannot understand. And as much as a moment ago I spent more time being critical of Real Madrid, the reason I can't be more critical of Gareth Bale is because I just cannot explain it. Right. Nothing I think of in trying to understand Gareth Bale and this position makes any sense to me. So I can't speak to it. So now I have to try to speak to something else because it's so foreign to everything about the game and every personality I have ever come across in the game at any single level.
And the fan of Gareth Bale, including the agent, that suggests it's a mistreatment of Real Madrid and the managers at Real Madrid, all the managers that you just mentioned. What I would say to them is, do you really think that any of these managers, knowing full well what Gareth Bale is capable of on the field, wouldn't love to have this guy out on the field for you, producing week in and week out? Their job is to win games for Real Madrid. And if they thought that they had a better chance of winning matches consistently with Gareth Bale on the field, guess what? He would be out there.
Even if it was for an hour. Just play for an hour. If they do that for Real Madrid, you take it.
Can't trust him.
No. Do you think that Carlo Ancelotti sits back and says, realistically, as he looks in the mirror and says, Marco Asensio is a better player than Gareth Bale. Rodrigo is a better player than Gareth Bale. Lucas Vazquez is a better player than Gareth Bale. None of those guys are better than Gareth Bale. But that is the best version of Gareth Bale. The 80% version of Gareth Bale is better than all those guys that I just mentioned. But you're not getting that. You cannot even hope to get that. So if you're any of the managers that you just mentioned, you can't trust that he's going to be out there. And so therefore, you have to move on. They have no other option. They can't hope that, you know what, maybe this is the week. They've all thought, at one point or another, maybe this is the week.
Yep.
And Gareth Bale have failed to deliver. Yep. And that's a fair assessment of him as a player at Real Madrid over the last few seasons. He's had moments. He has flashes. And in those moments is when you think, yes, he's back. Bicycle kick. Champions League final. Running around Mar Batra and Copa del Rey final. You have those moments in terms of what he has done with Real Madrid. And that's when you think, man, he could be so much more. And he hasn't been.
Final word on this to you, Gab.
I think it's very simple. It's not just the managers who don't want to deal with this anymore. I think the evidence is, apart from that, in my opinion, imaginary opportunity in China, because it's one thing for Jonathan Barnett to talk about it, and then we don't quite know the terms. The reality is, nobody, what other teams have inquired about him, taking him on loan, nobody was willing to take on his wages on loan. Even Spurs, they only paid one-third of his salary while he was there. Did it ever occur to Gareth Bale that, hey, maybe the environment's not right in Madrid. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. Maybe even on loan. Maybe I'll give up. Maybe 10%, 20% of my salary for 6 months to show people what I can do. No, it never has. And he's going to be gone when his contract expires in June. And I have no idea where he's going to go. I don't think anybody's going to make any kind of serious commitment to him because they're all mindful of what happened the last time somebody gave him an outrageous contract. The last time Real Madrid thought that he was worth close to Cristiano Ronaldo money for some reason, and this is how he repaid him. So I think he's made his own bed.
ESPN FC back on your screen tomorrow. Jan will be with us, as will Jules, Stevie, and Shaka Hislop.
Oh,
as
well. He's back.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
I don't know if you heard, but Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup.
What?
Pressing on Mancio, which is Roberto Mancini's nickname, the front page of Gazzetta. Meanwhile, Correa going for Mancini's last hour. He's done, isn't he, Gab? Mancini won't be coach anymore.
I don't think so, but what's obvious is that it's entirely up to him. But certainly he has a full backing of the FA. He has the backing of the players. I think he has the backing of public opinion, most of it. I think he may feel that he wants to walk away. He gave a long post on Instagram. He'll be taking charge of the team and in that eagerly anticipated friendly against Turkey, or what's left of the team since half the guys have gone home. And he's going to make a decision after that. But he's evaluating whether he wants to continue or not. But there's no question, I think, vast majority of the people who matter want him to stay.
Wait, Italy got to play Turkey in a friendly, Gab? Who came up with that idea?
Well, Dan, let me explain this to you.
That's crazy.
There was
I
a
just
playoff
found out about
path.
That.
There were semifinals.
Wow.
Turkey lost to Portugal. Italy, you might have heard, lost to Macedonia. So they'd already worked out that whoever lost those semifinal games, rather than having a week off where they didn't do anything, they were going to play a friendly match against each other. So Turkey probably thought they were going to play Macedonia if they lost. But instead, no, they get to play Italy.
Wow. Gab, thank you very much. A lot more, I'm sure, on the fallout from Italy on Gab and Jules' podcast. It's so good. It's so good. I love the Box of Doom. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Plenty of international matches, of course, today. You take a look at some of the results. Ireland came from behind to get a draw against Belgium. Meanwhile, Harry Kane's late penalty gave England a 2-1 victory over Switzerland. Dani Olmo scored the winner for Spain as they beat Albania 2-1. Germany, meanwhile, continuing their 100% record under Hansi Flick, the 2-0 victory over Israel. But the big story of the day, despite losing 4-2 against Denmark, was Christian Eriksen coming on at half-time and scoring just after 2 minutes on the pitch. Don, what a great story.
Oh, amazing story, Dan, isn't it? What a feel-good story. Incredible. He must have been so proud. His family must have been so proud of him as well. He's playing in the Premier League with Brentford. He's had one or two assists. And if you could try and paint a picture as well as Christian Eriksen coming on and what his goal was going to be like. Typical Christian Eriksen goal. I mean, loads of quality. Whipped it into the stanchion, into the top corner. Pure, pure class. And an amazing feel-good story. And what a moment for him and his family.
Thanks, Don. Also notable today, Harry Kane one step closer to breaking Wayne Rooney's all-time top goal scorer record for England. He's now just 4 short of that landmark.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Just a reminder, that big playoff final, Portugal against North Macedonia. Could North Macedonia knock out Italy and Portugal? Uh-oh. You can find out on ESPN2 at 2:30 Eastern. Meanwhile, also, of course, on Tuesday, Poland against Sweden. That game live on ESPN Plus at 2:45 Eastern. Now, just a reminder how things look going into that big tie between the US and Panama. The US currently sit 3 points behind Canada. Panama really need to get a result against the US. Of course, history, though, would suggest that that will not happen, considering US have got a 100% record against Panama at home when it comes to CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. This is what Jermaine Jones had to say. This was his prediction ahead of the game.
I'm 100% sure that they will. I think it will be a 3-0 or something. I think it's now home field. We all know that this, you know, they struggled in the first 30 minutes. I think in all games, only the home game against Mexico, I would say they had like really from the beginning everything correct. But I think still, I have a lot of respect to Panama. But still, when you compare player to player, there's no excuses. We have to get this done.
And the bookies certainly think that they will get it done. 5-2 on Panama, meanwhile, at 7-1. Now, at full time, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel because Kevin Hurt will be live. Having a breakdown over something, I'm sure. Be sure to check that out. Meanwhile, don't forget tomorrow, Portland Timbers against Orlando City. That game live on ESPN at 4 p.m. Eastern. Meanwhile, Tuesday, every single African World Cup qualifying is pretty much impossible to guess what's going to happen. Five games, just the one goal separating three matches. Meanwhile, 0-0, of course, between Nigeria and Ghana. Morocco and Congo, meanwhile, at 1-1. All of these games available on ESPN+. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned. We've already recorded Extra Time, and I can tell you, it is an extra time for the ages for so many different reasons. Gab getting angry at Don about Milanese is definitely a highlight. Check it out.
Not chicken Milanese.
No, not chicken. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali Moreno, Shaka Hislop.
You okay, Dan?
Don Hutchinson. I'm smiling because I know what the first question is.
Uh-oh. Let's get to it.
And it made me laugh.
Do I have to cross my arms?
It's for Gab.
All right.
Hello.
I'm going to stay away.
People in small footballing nations often root for one of the bigger teams in the World Cup or even the dark horse. Who will Gab be rooting for?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. We're not going to the World Cup. Should I rise to the bait of the small footballing nation?
No, I
think I will. I think I will. Yeah, you know those four stars? Yeah. Let me look up and see what they mean.
What did he go for last World Cup?
Interesting. Well, as you know, I have family ties to the United States and to Scotland, neither of whom were at the last World Cup, which proved to be problematic. Hopefully, they will both be at this World Cup. I used to live in Japan, so that is certainly a big one. I have a soft spot for Nigeria and Colin Udo, so that is most definitely a possibility. I certainly will not be rooting for Germany because I don't want him to pull ahead of us. And I won't be rooting for Brazil because I don't want them to pull away from us. Everybody else can come talk to me when they won more than two World Cups.
You didn't mention England at all there, Gab. You live in England. Your kids are English, aren't they?
First of all, my kids are not English. No reason they would be English. They're of Scottish descent, and if my Scottish in-laws heard you say that, they'd be extremely upset. England are not my least favorite team in the World Cup.
Well, it's not seven, then.
Very well. So if it comes to England, be German. No, but obviously I'm not going to root for another big nation. Obviously not. Come on.
Right. Okay.
England, I guess, are sort of a big nation.
Are you one of the Scots that just vote support anyone but England?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Bitter.
Pretty much.
Bitter.
Wow.
Oh, this is a good one, chap. Who was the most powerful striker of the ball that you've ever seen? Does Shaka remember one that made his hands sting?
Les Ferdinand.
Yeah?
Yeah, easy. Les hit it harder than anybody else I've seen.
And how did that feel?
Very hurtful.
Yeah. And what did you avoid to? What did you do to avoid the hurt?
Well, you just kind of dive just under the ball a little bit. Yes. Yes.
There you are.
Yes.
There you are. Courtesy dive.
I was very good at that after a while.
What about you, Don?
Three come to my mind when I see that question, Dan. Adriano, Inter. Stuart Pearce, Forest.
Yeah.
And Batistuta, Fiorentina.
Oh, there you go. Did you play against all of them?
No, only Stuart Pearce.
Oh, there you are. Mm. Ali?
Well, Roberto Carlos, obviously.
Yes. Have you been in the wall of a Roberto Carlos free kick?
I must have been in the wall, yes.
Yeah.
That was part of my role. Jose Manuel Rey for Venezuela,
right.
Captain of the national team.
Yeah.
And I took one of his on the face in a practice session at one point.
Ooh.
And, you know, it didn't feel all that
Is that
great.
Why the nose is?
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason. Right. Yes. I have a question for you, Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
So when Les Ferdinand was about to do some finishing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were you the sort of goalkeeper that recognized this is not going to be fun and so therefore put the reserve guy in there? It's like, you know, come and take your reps. Come and take your reps.
I can get out of the way of a ball with the best of people.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Don, why weren't you playing in the Liverpool Legends game today? We saw Luis Garcia there playing.
You have to be a legend. That's
well, I mean, the second part of that was legends.
But you got your Liverpool shirt in the background.
I did, funny enough, Dan, get asked to commentate on the game.
Oh, bitter. You said no.
I've got some gardening to do.
Wow.
What?
Said no. Yeah, I don't think you can do that. We have to edit that out. That's trouble.
Woo! HR.
Oh, no. Neymar, Messi, Di Maria look totally different players for their national team. What does this tell you about PSG and the manager, Ali?
Right. Well, we can go and have our opinions about Pochettino and how helpless he looked while his team was melting away in front of Real Madrid, that's a different conversation. As for the players, at some point they got to take responsibility. At some point, they have to shoulder what was going on for PSG in that game against Real Madrid. And that's part of the reason as to why PSG melts away in these moments of importance. There's a few of those players that are unwilling to shoulder that responsibility. It's not my problem,
right.
It's his problem. That's not the definition of a team.
For Don, between Edward Wood or Daniel Levy, who's been worse at their job?
Ooh.
Oh, dear me. Probably Ed Woodward, I'd have to say. I think I'd have to go there. I mean, yeah, both as bad as each other. I think Daniel Levy's penny pinching like you wouldn't believe, and the lack of signings that he's missed out on because of a million here or a million there. But I think United fans will probably tell you Woodward.
Gab?
Wow. So Daniel Levy is a part owner of Tottenham Hotspur. He owns about 30%. The other 70%, as I often point out, is owned by Joe Louis, who's a tax exile who nobody ever likes to talk about for some reason. So I'll just stick to Daniel Levy. When Daniel Levy decides to use Don's term, pinch pennies, those pennies go into his pocket. So at least he's being clever. When Ed Woodward goes and spends money badly, it's not even his money he's spending. He doesn't necessarily benefit from it, whether he saves money or spends money. So I would probably say it's Ed Woodward, because Daniel Levy is at one time the owner and the guy who runs the club. So if he chooses to run the club a certain way, in the end, he's the one who shoulders responsibility. So yes, I'm going to go with Ed Woodward.
Don, is Maguire's time as a starter for England over?
Harry Maguire? No, I don't think you can say that after a bad season. We've all been there as pros. I think he'll come back. I think he's having a tough time. I think the biggest question is he going to be a Man United player? That's what he's got to focus on now. I still stand by, as I've been saying for the last few months, when you're in a difficult period that Harry Maguire's in, I honestly would give the captaincy up to Ronaldo, whoever might take it, and just say, right, at the moment, this is too big for me. I'm in a bad vein of form. I can't get out of it. I need to simplify my game. Let me find my own form before I then worry about the rest of the dressing room and try to captain that football club. That might get him back. But as footballers, there's always a way back. And I think Gareth will be pretty loyal.
Gab, are you okay?
Sorry, it was just a mention of Harry Maguire. Sorry.
Yeah, does that to some people. I am.
God. Don and Ali, oh my goodness. Wow. If you were to make a five-a-side team using ESPN FC members, who would you pick first and who gets picked last?
Whoa.
Okay.
I mean, we need a keeper. We need a goalkeeper. So, Shaq or Casey.
Look, first. Shaq, you're picking them first. You're picking Shaka first.
Goalie always gets picked first, Dan.
We need a keeper. You've got to start from the back. We need a goalkeeper.
But that's going to be your first pick. Shaka, what a waste.
Your goalie always gets picked first. First name on the team sheet, Dan.
No, Shaq, I don't
first
care.
First name on the team sheet.
I don't care. I'd have Del Piero, and then I don't give a damn about anybody else.
Well, just as well, the question wasn't for you then, was it? Nobody asked you.
You don't need a goalkeeper.
Nobody asked you.
Can Don pick his own team? I'll pick mine.
Well, do you agree, Ali? We need a keeper. Shaka, isn't it?
No, Shaka cannot be the first pick at any point, Don.
What? I can play out on the park. If we go behind, I can play out on the park.
He's already told you that he avoids saving balls. Does it hurt?
He dies out of the way.
I
can play out on the park if you need me to.
He doesn't say that question in order. Just says, give me five.
As I said, Don can keep his team. He can have Shaka. I'll have Del Piero my first pick.
Right. Now, who's the last pick? Who are you picking last, Don?
That's a difficult one.
I've not even got that far. I've got
No, it's not. You don't have to give us the team.
I'm just thinking. Well, I need to get them in my brain, didn't I? Jurgen's in there. Del Piero's in there. I've got to try and sort the wheat from the chaff. Do you know what I mean? I've got to try and get an end game.
Right. So who's the chaff?
You?
No, I don't count.
Why don't you count?
What? Little chaff boy.
That is the and last time anybody's going to go. Feel my epitaph.
I'll tell you who goes last. Steve McManaman, because he'll be in the bar from the night before till 4
o'clock. Hey, Macca played in the Liverpool Legends game.
If you commentated on it, you'd know.
Burning sausages in your garden.
He's the entertainment manager.
Who are you picking last?
But you're not included in this.
No, that would be too easy.
That would be an obvious choice.
Yes, exactly.
My last pick would have to be Stevie.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, Stevie can't move. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You can put him in goal.
Goodness.
We need people to move. Stevie can't move.
There we go. Oh, final question. It's a classic, Gab. What is your favorite meal?
What do you mean, like, as in, like, breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
No, we're talking. We're talking. You're on the Green Mile. Your last supper.
And who did you kill?
Well, you know the answer to that one.
Barry McGuire.
Oh goodness. Oh wow. All right. I know. I'd want to put thought into this. I know that I can't put thought into this because. I would imagine it would be probably some tagliatelle with fresh porcini mushrooms, followed by a very nice high quality T-bone steak, obviously medium rare, and then for my dessert, I'm thinking. I'm getting like a little tiramisu vibe.
Wow.
Possibly. Mm. Something like that.
That'd be it.
Well,
hey.
If anybody had seen Gab attack the peanut butter martini that he attacked in Cardiff,
I
thought that was going to be part of the meal as well.
Like a peanut butter martini.
He attacked that thing.
Hey, we got to go Don's last meal, just the one Gab.
Well. Gab's going to absolutely hate me. I was going to go steak with peppercorn sauce. Because Gab's on the show, he's going to absolutely hate me. I'm going to go, Dan, because I order it every time I'm in my favourite Italian. I'm going to go pollo milanese with penne arrabbiata.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
The judgment. The judgment.
Kick Gab.
Okay. So, a Milanese isn't traditionally made with chicken. You're going to go through the trouble of a restaurant. You ought to have it with veal, certainly, right?
Nothing
wrong with the Milanese, but it's veal, yeah?
No, chicken.
Why? Well, you have some crappy battery chicken that grew up under a light bulb?
Over some and then spicy pasta. Yep, and then spicy pasta.
No, but the pasta not with it. The pasta comes before.
No,
you don't put pasta on a plate with chicken. That's weird and unnatural.
No, both on the same plate.
Don, you're not in the world. You've traveled.
Both on the same plate.
This would offend Greg Burley even.
Loads of chilies.
Put some ketchup on top.
Yeah.
Why don't you put some chips on your arrabbiata as well?
The disdain. The disdain.
I absolutely love it. That is it. We're done. Thank you very much. ESPN FC will be back tomorrow for more of this nonsense.
You're not my first pick, Shaq.
I'm disappointed. Slightly.
Chaff boy will be back.
Little chaff boy.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.